It's The Bill Murphy Show, a daily one-on-one 30-minute interview featuring people from all walks of life. Available daily at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
And here's your digital broadcast for Tuesday, August 24th, 2010. I've been looking forward to doing a show like this for a while now, ever since the show was a couple weeks old. I thought, this is going to be fun to take a bunch of snippets from shows we've already done and put them into one little neat little package. It'll kind of give you an idea of what the show sounds like day to day, how much the guests vary from person to person, and how different all the stories are that we're getting on this show. Brought to you again by Lulu's Bait Shack, fresh Florida seafood, gigantic fishbowl drinks, and live music. Lulu's in Beach Place on A1A in the heart of Fort Lauderdale Beach. And today what we're going to do is we're going to recap some of the greatest moments of this show. Not necessarily the greatest ones, because if, you know, there were so many good ones, it would take up too much time. Just some key moments, some quotes that we've heard, a cross-section of what goes on this show for you, capsulized into one little half-hour program here. Couple of notes here at the top of the show. Of course, big thank yous to everybody. What's happening with this show is that it has spread primarily through Facebook, through all your kind words and your links of sharing the show with me, joining the fan page, seeing what it's all about, perhaps getting a laugh or two out of it at my expense, which is no problem, and then passing it along. If you're enjoying this show, and as some of you are, that's the reason why it's succeeding. The numbers are going up, and we're spreading into going a little bit nationwide. Going nationwide, baby. So we're gonna take up the guests to the next level and bring the exposure to the show to the next level. So we appreciate you getting here through the infancy with us and basically getting the show off the ground. I couldn't have done it without you. Nice little package of fans that are listening to the show. Okay, so here's a little recap. Also, another thing that you want to know is that your opportunities now for you to become a part of this show as a sponsor. There are several hundred people logging on per day at a minimum to this show, and they could be exposed to your logo and hear me talk about your product or your business. And in fact, you can come in and talk about your business in detail with me in sort of like an infomercial format, but factual and true, and we can hear how sincere you are about your particular project, and it's a good way to bring you closer to your potential clients. So you can package that all together. Just get in touch with me on the email that's on the page, or give me a call. Actually, just give me a call anytime at 954-424-6211 to reach the business line and talk about anything you want to do to get involved in this show. All right, so we started this little thing on June 1st of this year, and I needed to have a guest that would kind of signify what I'm doing, and a lot of the fun that I like to have with this show is interviewing people that interview people. And not only am I getting a person like that on my first show, day one, but I'm also getting someone who actually got me into this business and gave me the first break that I got to become a broadcaster, because we know that's what it takes to get into this business is right place at the right time and right person. And Sonny Fox was my right person at the right place at the right time. And we reminisce a little bit about that in day one of the Bill Murphy Show. Here's Sonny recalling the days when he was able to do his radio show from his home. Which is something I'm doing a few decades later. But he was doing it in the 70s, and he had a typical celebrity visit to his home, and he tells us a little detail about Jerry Garcia stopping by. This is Sonny Fox, day one, June 1st, 2010.
So as a result, I was very, very fortunate to have some wonderful, wonderful memories and that in my apartment. And my favorite story, if I could tell you quick, was Jerry Garcia came by. And
can you?
Right. He came by, and he had a little entourage with him of record company people who immediately attacked my kitchen phone to start phoning around the country telling stations who was adding what. And Jerry got upset. He goes, "Will you fuckers just go out and sit in the limousine?"
Oh, man.
And so he went out in the limo, and we started talking. And he said, "Do you have a cleaner?" Because he has brought some weed with him. And my little Mary gin. Remember those things you put the weed in and turn it?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Sure, yeah, I remember those things.
Yeah, well, mine was broken. So I said, "Sorry." And Jerry says, "No problem. Where's your bedroom?" And I said, "Over there." So he ran into my bedroom, pulled out my bottom drawer, which contained my underwear.
Right.
And dumped the underwear on the floor and dumped this giant bag of weed in my drawer. and took an album and started cleaning it. And like canting the drawer sideways.
Sure.
To make a long story short, he rolled a big joint, came out, did an interview, and I'll never forget.
And I'm sure it went just fine. Very laid back.
Oh, yeah, it was a classic conversation.
Some great memories there with Sonny Fox. Day one, June 1st, 2010, the first edition of the Bill Murphy Show, the one that sort of kind of put up the flag for what the show was all about. So then we moved on, and he had the idea was to bring on just completely random everyday folks every single day, no matter who you are, telling the story of your job, your career, how you got started in it, what you do on a day-to-day basis, because it's always interesting no matter who is telling the story. And a couple of weeks into the show, I was able to bring on a guest of mine who I've run into a few times as a very young, active politician. Connor Lancer, at the age of 13, 14, maybe tops now, is looking like he's ready to take a seat in a public office. And you'll hear a little bit about how versed he is. In fact, we get into it a little bit because Connor is also doing radio internet broadcasting of some sort at a website called Blog Talk. And he tells us a little bit about getting started in that. And tell me this guy doesn't have the voice of a future politician.
But my aim was to inform people about the Constitution and about really just about America, because too many Americans these days, believe it or not, don't know about America. They can't tell you, they can't tell you the branches of Congress. They can't tell you who our president is. They can't tell you one senator, one congressman. They don't know. And so that was my goal, was to inform, along with inform people about candidates. Because in my belief, too many people turned out to the polls in 2008 and voted for Barack Obama not knowing what they were really going to get. And so I wanted to inform people, because it's the same thing with a lot of Republicans, is they vote and they don't know what type of really Republican the person is. And so I wanted to inform the people. I've taken about a month's break because we're actually going to come back with some really big surprises and really big guests.
Okay.
In the next couple of weeks. And I'll have that announcement on my website, which is built right now, ConnorLancer.com. But, I mean, it's a really exciting thing, and I love doing it. I've really missed it for this past month. And I'm just really excited for what we have in store, which is going to be a lot of big guests and a lot of big names and surprises.
That's Connor Lancer from June 14th, 2010. The show was just about a couple of weeks old. At the time, on the 22nd of June, I was able to reconnect with a longtime friend of mine, Liz. I know her as Liz Ridley. She's now known as Liz Leckenby, and she was the tournament director for the U.S. Women's Senior Open that was taking place at Oakmont this year and had been working on that for a long time. Liz has had a string of incredibly interesting sports-related jobs, and she gives us a little biography here about how one thing led to another, but of course the foundation for her long and successful career in sports so far has obviously a lot to do with her upbringing and the home kind of surrounding her with sports. This is Liz Leckenby from the broadcast from June 22nd.
I played sports growing up. I have four brothers and a sister, and we all played hockey growing up. Actually, my parents played hockey later in life, and that was kind of cool because my dad actually grew up in the inner city, and then, you know, for a kid from the inner city in Jersey to start taking up hockey at the age of 50 was a pretty neat story. But just played sports my whole life, and when I went to college, I basically looked at colleges and I said, I'll choose the college if they have a hockey team or a lacrosse team, and that was basically how I looked at my colleges, and was fortunate, ended up at Boston College and had four amazing years, played on the hockey team there, and loved every minute of it. And then really when I was getting out of school, at the time the sport management field was not really as developed as it is now. Now the opportunities are amazing for the kids coming out of college. But, you know, I basically figured the way for me to stay in sports was to become an agent. And so I thought I would kind of try and go down that path. And then I took the law boards, and I thought, well, I better find a new way to get into sports after that test. But that was a doozy, and I figured it wouldn't be too hard. But I just, you know, looked around at options, and actually my first job out of college, I was fortunate. I was hired to coach I was the assistant coach for a college hockey team for a women's program up in Maine. And then when I showed up on the job, they said, well, what other sports do you coach? And I said, well, you know, I have a little bit of experience with lacrosse and field hockey. And so before you know it, I was hired as an assistant coach for those three sports and spent 2 years up there and then actually moved down to Florida. So I was, you know, pretty young when I started with the Panthers, and it was my second job, and I loved every minute of those 5 years down there. And then had the fortune of being, sort of recruited to go out to Salt Lake City to work on the Olympics, and was the manager for the men's and women's ice hockey program. So I dealt with all the athletes from all the countries and all the officials, and that was a great experience for a couple of years. And then after that, switched over to golf. So it's been a great run.
And thank you very much, Liz, for making the show sound so great and giving us a chance to get inside the ropes at the U.S. Women's Senior Open, which was a great one. July 5th, former schoolmate of mine, Ken Plank, who has now become an OTR, over-the-road trucker, one of the official guys that drives a big 18-wheel rig. It's like something right out of the song Convoy. Now, the idea was for me to, when I thought of interviewing Ken, I wanted to have this theater of the mind thing going on where you were actually in the driver's seat, or at least the passenger seat, of Ken's rig. And I forgot to get him to blow the horn because that would have just added a whole dimension to it, but it might have not have been a very safe move to do. Now, I want you to know he was safe as could be. He was hands-free on this. Of course, he is, has to talk hands-free on the phone when he's driving a rig in such an important job with a lot of weight behind him. But Ken told us many stories about being on the road, and it did take place in the middle of the night while he was in the California desert somewhere. And he got us up to speed on some of the technology that's happening with the truckers, in specific the DOT rating system that was going to put more of the responsibility on the drivers as opposed to the drivers' companies, which is good for motorists to know that the drivers individually are being held more responsible for their actions on the road. And then he gets into a little bit about what pre-pass is all about. So it's trucking and technology. This is from the broadcast with Ken Plank from behind the wheel of his rig on July 5th.
They got this new thing coming out called the CSA. I don't fully understand it, but what used to be was the companies, trucking companies, when we'd go through weigh stations and get tickets and stuff, that would put points against the companies. And that's how the companies are rated for people like Kraft, your big-name distributing places. That's how they decide whether or not they're going to use you or not, is by your rating by the DOT. So now what they're doing, and it hasn't come in effect yet, but they got this new CSA. I couldn't even tell you exactly what that stands for off the top of my head right now. But what it does is it's going to rate us truck drivers. So now, like if we get an overweight ticket, it not only affects the company, but it affects us. We don't have our logs right, any of that. It's a point system against us.
It follows the driver, so to speak.
Right, right. So now it makes the driver more responsible. Like, I'll give you, for instance, just last week when I came out of Florida, picked up a Tropicana load, and I was overgrowth with no fuel. So the only thing I could do then was, I just told them, look, I'll run it because they've got a contract with Tropicana, and Trump not reload their trailers. You take it or you don't run for them. And that's just the way it is right at the moment. But I ran it and I got lucky. I've got the pre-pass, which is a signaling device that some of us have going through the weigh stations. That gives them your information. You don't have to go in. So I had to stop every 300 miles and get fuel. And what a long trip that makes.
Ken Plank, staying safe on the roads and checking in to the show from his rig and giving a sort of like a little reality episode there. And then the idea for this show was originally intended to be a weekly music show, which it still is. We have weekly Music Fridays, but we also sprinkle in guests from all walks of life for the rest of the week. Now, in keeping with the tradition and the progression that I was expecting, I have managed to get musicians into my studio to play, not only to play, but to talk about their careers, their gigs, the recordings that are going on, inside information about being in the recording studio, about songwriting, and we go into a lot of detail. But I was really looking forward to having live performances on our show. And I couldn't get away from this Jacob Jeffries kid. Everybody I talked to in the South Florida music community pointed towards Jacob. You got to get Jacob. You got to hear this kid. And so I did my homework, listened up to all my Jacob Jeffries stuff, and thought, wow, if I get this kid in here, it'll really make the show sound great. Now, not only is he just an incredibly gifted musician, but Jacob Jeffries is wise beyond his years. At 22, he understands the importance of being independent, the risks he takes, and he has the most relaxed attitude when he talks about it. It's like he's been in the music business for decades, and he's just 22. So here's Jacob Jeffries telling and also playing a little bit for us from the episode dated July 9th.
And, you know, you're making an investment every time you get in your car. There's a lot of expenses, and sometimes you go to a place and you play a show and there's three people there, you know, but
right.
You have to assume that those three people, you got to blow them away so that they go and tell their family and friends.
Well, then they feel like the luckiest people in the world because they saw the show with nobody there.
Oh, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. And the word of mouth, man, it's all about the word of mouth. It's all about the building your fan base one person at a time.
And speaking of that, you do realize that the only reason you're here is because you have way more Facebook friends than I do, and I need to spread this show around. So I figure, hey, I'll get him on the show. He'll turn his friends on to the show, and who knows, man, I might get a listener or two out of it.
It's a joint effort.
Exactly.
Let's do this.
Yeah, and this is going to become the home base. I'm counting on you to spread the word, too, so we can get some other great musicians that you've been hanging. Actually, I just want to hang out with you for a little while, see the guys you're hanging out with.
I want to be your co-host eventually.
Well, there you go. It sounds like you already are. The chemistry's already here, man. You know,
when I'm in town and we're not on the road, I want to be your co-host.
And I bet that you could handle playing a little background, talking track, you know what I'm saying? And then when we went over there, you know what I'm saying? We can make it real dramatic and tell stories with piano in the background.
Things got sour.
And then, oh yeah.
Yeah,
that's I got it. Great concepts. All right, so we're gonna change the whole concept of the show now, and it's gonna be the Bill and Jake. Actually, the Jacob and Bill show. All right, play us something else you have a couple of very recognizable tunes that I'm sure your fans that are listening right now would love to hear, because I'm gonna throw a semi obscure one at you.
All right, I'll play. This is the title track then, right off the second CD.
All righty.
My days are numbered by the thoughts I left behind. And where do I go from here? Where do I go from here? Everybody's changing and I feel so left out by the sound of you changing too. From here it should be clear we can't go back without the pieces intact, oh yeah. Whoa, isn't life just wonderful? You're all I want, and you're all I need. Oh, isn't it so obvious if we try to reach this compromise?
And if you want to hear the rest of that live performance, you must listen to the entire podcast that's dated July 9th, 2010, with Jacob Jeffries. Great job, and he's really gotten the ball rolling for us for our Music Friday show. And then the other thing we'd like to do, we've started to do with the show, is go on location and record with this nifty new device, the microphone by Blue, that attaches to the iPhone. As long as it's in airplane mode and it thinks it's an iPod, you can record at pretty good digital quality, 16-bit recording, 44.1 sample rate for you audio geeks out there. And one of the first places I tried it was poolside at the Newport Beachside, I guess, down in the Sunny Isles, where there was a big charity event going on, and the people being helped out mostly in this were Daryl's kids. The organization head up by Daryl Gardner, former Miami Dolphin. Big, tough guy, big party weekend, and Daryl was, to say the least, a very outspoken dude. Here he is talking a little bit about some of the reasons he's in charity and some of the things that bother him about it, even though he's doing it for a good cause. This is Daryl Gardner, former Miami Dolphin great, from the show dated July 19th.
You know what? It doesn't make me feel good. It actually pisses me off. But here's why I say that. I was confronted with an individual, and came up to me and basically looked at me like, you know, Daryl, look, you know, I know who you are. You're the man, whatever. But how long are you going to be around? You know, what they were looking for, they were looking for Santa Claus. And at that particular time, I donated a little bit, but it wasn't what I really wanted to do. These kids need financial responsibility from people that are looking at them the correct way. Out of sight, out of mind is pretty much the focus on things here. But the objective and my initiatives and what I'm trying to do is I want everything that these kids are asking me to be out in the forefront. And I will bust my behind any day of the week. You know, just like football, you know. Hey, I remember what 4th-and-1 felt like and the high that I had, but I don't play football anymore.
Right.
You know, I love the Dolphins. I'm a Dolphin for life. You know what I'm saying? Dolphins, what's up?
We going to get into that.
You know, it's about these children. And these children have real needs, and they need champions to be out there to put in that time. But not only put in the time, put in that work and be consistent. Consistency is all that these kids are looking for. They don't give a damn about anything else.
Daryl Gardner, we're looking forward to another appearance from him in the near future. He is dying to get back on the show, and I'm dying to have him back. Music Fridays just get better and better every week. We're going back to July 24th, just a few days before the arrival of the Happy Together tour, which was at the Hard Rock Live. Now, for those of you who didn't already know this, my younger brother Steve is a drummer for the backline for that band, and we had a rare opportunity to get inside the tour bus somewhere between Atlanta and, or I don't know, they were traveling up the Eastern Seaboard somewhere, and we got to speak to four members of the band at once: John Montagna, Manny Focarazzo, Godfrey Townsend, my brother Steve, and Mark Lindsay from Paul Revere and the Raiders. So they're telling stories about being on the road, and they went on a little bit of a riff at one point because they were in a dilapidated bus, and the string of jokes that went on about this bus. Well, let's have a listen. This is from the Happy Together band performance on the show, dated July 24th.
Let me give you an indication of the age of this bus. I checked out the mileage on the bus, and the mileage that this bus has traveled is equivalent to traveling around the world 36 times, or traveling to the moon and back 4 times.
Or,
no wait, this one's the best, traveling at the speed of light for 5 seconds. That is how many miles are on this bus that we are on right now. So let anyone out there wants to do some quick math on those three examples for the formula, have fun. This thing has been around.
Or you know what else they can do? They can look on my Facebook page and
see the exact number.
12 hours. Well, they can see the exact number on my Facebook page. I actually took a picture of the odometer. Yeah, I'm going to be posting the next time I have an internet connection.
I think, of course, the bus is older than him.
Right. Because, yeah. But one of the luxuries about it is that every bunk has its own individual reel-to-reel player.
Except for the premium one that has an 8-track and a laser disc.
That's fantastic.
In the suite. That's the suite.
It sounds to me like you entertain yourselves even more than you watch or play with anything while you're on the bus.
What had happened was the original bus we were supposed to get broke down. So they had to give us this one because there's no other buses right now because everyone's out touring.
Behind the touring season, so it's, you know, many of the tour buses are in use.
one has a working controller in the back lounge.
Manny says it has a working controller in the back lounge.
So Steve, yeah. Godfrey, John, and Manny, now you guys have been on part of several of the Hippie Fest tours over the last few years, and I guess a few Happy Together tours. Now, is this this is how many Happy Together tours for you guys now?
Before we talk about that, I want to make one more joke about the bus before I forget it.
Absolutely.
While we were parked at the venue, I opened up the hood, and there was a parrot inside that looked up at me and said, "It's a living." So now, what was your question again, Bill?
And we're going to have sort of a combination of those guys on again for this coming Friday's Music Friday as we welcome the Hippie Fest Tour, which is going to be at the Broward Center, and we'll have a yet-to-be-announced member or two of that tour for this coming Friday's Music Friday show. On July 27th, I had my buddy Andy Slater, who is a sports reporter, talk show host at 640 WFTL. And with Andy, we go up on a little side note here. It has nothing to do with sports. It has more to do with Andy's love of Facebook and informing friends of odd goings-on on a constant basis on keeping us in touch with the culture, so to speak. But one of the things that Andy and I have in common is that we both are a member of the Grammar Police. We hate to see grammar misused in very high-profile public places. And Andy tells you a little bit about how much that bugs him. This is from the show on July 27th with Andy Slater.
There was a sign on the Florida Turnpike and also some of the other expressways, and it was for the campaign of Move Over for the Emergency Vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And on the bottom of the sign, it says, "It's the law," and it should be, "It is the law," meaning that there should be an apostrophe after the T before the S.
Right.
And I'm telling you, for a year and a half, it always said ITS. And I'm thinking, you know what? Younger kids, and you know, they may look at the sign, and I'm the grammar type. You know, everybody should know the right way to put
yep.
it. And I mean, we're talking about real, you know, small stuff here. And we're
yeah, but it's the English language, man. Come on.
Exactly. It should be correct. And you know what? I said no one else is going to do anything about this. So I made a couple phone calls, and I got some return calls saying that first they had no idea, that the people had no idea what I was talking about. They said it was okay. They said they would look into it. I mean, seriously, no one had a clue. And
bless your heart for making that call, man. Nobody makes that call.
No, that's what I said. You know, I'm going to be the one where if I drive by in 2 weeks from now and it's an apostrophe, I made the difference. You know, I made somebody a little bit smarter that drove, you know, by that sign and know it was correct.
You know, ironically, you say it's sad because, you know, kids might see that and then start them, you know, getting the wrong idea on how to use the English language. The truth is, it was probably a kid in the marketing department that actually mocked that up for the first time and it stayed that way. So, you know.
So I'm telling you, this was about a year and a half ago. And after 3 weeks of phone calls, it never got changed. I said, you know what, the heck with this. They're not changing it. I don't know what they're doing. They just don't care. And the message kind of came down for about 6 months, and they put up a different message. So about a month ago, the message came back up, and once again, it was no apostrophe.
Wow.
So I wrote something about it. I took a picture, and I put it up on my Twitter page. And with Twitter, things can go all over the place, and other people see it now. It's a little bit bigger now than it was a year and a half ago when I sent something like that out. And sure enough, about a week and a half ago, I passed by, and you could pass by tomorrow on the turnpike. Everyone will see it. It's got the apostrophe up there, and I want to say that, you know what?
Good for you.
I had something to do with that.
Very cool. Andy Slater from WFTL telling us stories about getting signs changed, getting things done, babe. Nice work. And we'll wrap up this sort of mid-season recap of the show with a couple of samples of what went on Music Fridays. This is from August 6th. We had the guys from Blackout Movement, a couple of great, young, talented producers working in the hip-hop, urban, and also in the rock genres in South Florida and doing a great job. They brought one of their artists over with them. His name is Solar Mesh. And here's a clip of Solar Mesh's latest recording produced by Blackout Movement and heard kind of first, a little inside scoop of this one on August 6th. Here's Solar Mesh. Check this guy out.
And I don't know what it is, how we got here. And those three words you said to me, they took away the breath on all what's left inside of me. With those three words, they cut so
pretty powerful stuff there from Solar Mesh, a product of the Blackout Movement, are my guests on the August 6th show. And here's how far we've come with Music Friday. We have just been able to equip the studio to suit an entire band. So here's the deal. If you got your band, we've got a more than decent virtual setup for you to come and play in the studio. We can take some time to tune your instruments up and get it going. All you need to do is bring your guitars, bass, and drumsticks. We've got everything you need here to plug in and do an entire half unplugged, half not unplugged performance here. We welcome them. We'd love to have you here. Get in contact with us. If you know the name of a band that you think I should chase down for the show, feel free to get in touch with me. Murph at BillMurphyShow.com, or of course you can call me 954-424-6211 for any information that you think I need to know about the show and about becoming a guest. So thanks for sitting through this little recap with us. We'll close here with Cairo. This is them performing live in the Murphonic Studios with an electronic drum kit with some pretty cool software, bass and guitars direct, and vocals and piano right here in the studio/control room. Right next to me. Little side note for the audio buffs out there listening. It was a very funny mistake that happened in here, and it makes it at least a little interesting, but it was a lesson learned. But here's what's going on in this recording. I did not know that when I was bussing channels to the two-track that needed to record this performance, somehow the bass track got panned all the way to one side of the recording. So you'll get a kick out of hearing that Beatles-ish kind of thing going on there that was not done on purpose. When we were monitoring, we were all hearing the bass in the middle, but for some reason, the two-track that was getting recorded was only getting bass on one side. So kind of a funny mistake, fun to listen to. Probably didn't need to point it out, but there you go. It's an added bonus. Here's Cairo performing on August 20th.
This endless night, baby. Nights out, hold on.
There you go. That's Cairo performing live in the Bill Murphy Show on August 20th. And that'll do it for this mid-season wrap-up. Don't forget, brand new episode for you tomorrow and coming up Friday, a Hippie Fest-related Music Friday right here. Thank you for listening, everybody. Catch you back here tomorrow.
Log on each weekday for another edition of The Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph@BillMurphyShow.com. That's MURPH@BillMurphyShow.com. A Murphonics Media Production.